Now, Galatians is called our Christian Magna Carta because of Paul's thorough discussion of the subject of slavery. Now, he certainly was not talking about physical slavery. That doesn't even come into this. He is talking about spiritual slavery, spiritual bondage. Paul says that we are free from the requirements of the law of Moses. And these laws became to be a bondage in themselves because they kept people from encountering true faith and freedom in the Lord.
Thank you for listening to the Calhoun Baptist Church podcast. In his sermon titled, Standing Firm in Christian Liberty, Brother John preached from the book of Galatians chapter 5, verse 1. We are reminded that because of Christ, we are free from the bondage of sin, and we are truly free when we are obedient to Jesus. And now, Brother John.
As I told you just a moment ago, my message this morning is going to be on Christian liberty and how we should stand firm in that Christian liberty, the freedom that we have in Christ. You know, a long time ago, back in 1776, our patriot fathers, they boldly declared in our Declaration of Independence that the rights and freedoms of mankind come not from some government, not from the state, not from the king, but comes from God himself and God Almighty alone. He alone is the one that can give people true freedom. We have come a long way since we've declared independence from England. But our forefathers acknowledged, they knew and understood and believed the truth that God alone is the one that truly gives freedom. But it's funny how you look at our society today and you see how people have so come to misunderstand what freedom means. I mean, a lot of folks don't even understand what it means to walk in God-given freedom. I mean, some people believe that you define freedom as no limits. No limits. Anything goes. And I'm going to tell you what that leads to. This kind of thinking leads to any and every possible immoral act or thought or deed, and can even lead to anarchy. Some people just don't want someone else's standards imposed upon them. And so by nature, man is rebellious and, you know, they just don't want to hear it. Even if it's for their good or for the good of society at large. And so they prefer to free themselves, as they say, from the shackles of morality, as if that is a bondage to them. But true freedom and real liberty, they have never meant living apart from God's standards. That's what got us in trouble in the first place. One of the earliest letters that the Apostle Paul ever wrote that we have at least preserved is the letter to the people in Galatia. There were several churches that this was written to, and Paul actually sent that to one of the main churches, and then it was spread around. This particular letter, this epistle, some theologians have referred to as the Magna Carta of Christian liberty. Now, if you don't know what that term Magna Carta is, let me tell you a little history lesson here. Back in the year 1215, I believe it was, King John of England decided that he was going to be gracious to the lords in his realm. And so they put together what was called a Royal Charter of Political Rights that the English barons were allowed to express and experience under the king. And since then, that term, Magna Carta, has also referred to any kind of a document that spells out people's basic rights, much like our Bill of Rights that we have at the end of our Constitution. Now, Galatians is called our Christian Magna Carta because of Paul's thorough discussion of the subject of slavery. Now, he certainly was not talking about physical slavery. That doesn't even come into this. But he is talking about spiritual slavery, spiritual bondage. Paul says that we are free from the requirements of the law of Moses. And these laws became to be a bondage in themselves because they kept people from encountering true faith and freedom in the Lord, because it was all about do and do, or don't do and don't do. And that became a hard thing for people to do. Now, we also read in the book of Acts, just a little background into where his thinking was at. We read in the book of Acts where after Paul began his earthly ministry and before he began on his missionary journeys, that there in Jerusalem were a group of troublemakers. These were the ones that were infiltrating into the early church. They were trying to go in, these false brothers. And their goal was to go in and to destroy the faith of these new believers. They were trying to undermine their newfound freedom in Christ. And what they were doing was trying to put people back in spiritual bondage again by insisting that these new converts to Christianity, the way, go back to practicing some of the things they did under Judaism, especially the circumcision. Paul stood up against that, because circumcision was a requirement under the law. And so they stood up and they were able to say some things against this and quickly settle the issue once and for all, declaring that all believers have been set free from spiritual bondage to what Paul calls in Romans the law of sin and death. In Galatians now, we see how Paul argues at length that men and women are saved and they are justified before God by faith in Jesus Christ alone. Not by the works of their law, not by the good works, because good works are not good enough. The freedom that we have is in Christ and trusting in Him alone. And that's the climax of his argument, really. And we're going to look at that here in just a moment, here in chapter 5. But let me ask you this before I continue. And I'm speaking to my brothers and sisters in Christ today. Do you know what freedoms you have in Christ? Do you know what it means to have freedom in Christ? What does that phrase even mean? I mean, you may be unaware this morning of the great privileges that are yours only in Christ. You see, the freedom that one has in Christ is a very precious thing. And it is so very important that we as believers recognize those freedoms and we stand firm, holding on to them dearly. They are worth clinging to. Now, I want you to take your Bibles and turn with me to Galatians chapter 5. We're only going to read the first verse because this sums up Paul's main point of the entire letter. And follow along, read with me as I read aloud. Paul writes in verse 1, "It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery." This is the word of the Lord. Paul declares to us in this verse, in this passage, that because of Christ, we have freedom. But you might ask, from what does Christ set us free? What are the things that we have freedom in? Well, let me list a few of these. You have them in your notes and outlines. And so you could follow along with me. The first thing that we have freedom from, and that is the requirements of the Old Testament law. Now let me just take a quick poll. Raise your hand if you think so. How many of you are disappointed that we no longer slaughter sheep or bulls or lambs or goats 500 times a day? Nobody? Well, good. Because we've been set free from that. Under the Old Testament law, we no longer are required to do that. Why? Because we have Jesus, the last and greatest Lamb. John calls him the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. In Hebrews, it says that he died once for all, never to be done again, never needed to be done again, because he was the ultimate sacrifice. And so under the law, we had all of these ceremonies, we had all of these rituals and all of those things that were a drudgery. But now we have been set free in Christ. Paul says in Galatians 2, he says, a man is not justified by observing the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. So we too have put our faith in Christ Jesus, that we may be justified by faith in Christ. And not by observing the law, because observing the law, no one will be justified. You see, Paul's primary theme here in Galatians is freedom in Christ. He addressed this subject of Christian liberty in many of his books, many of his letters. We know specifically in Romans he talks about that. In 1st and 2nd Corinthians, he speaks, for example, in 2nd Corinthians 2:17, he says, the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Now, God's people are now free from their obligation to keep the old ritualistic law. Now, it doesn't say we are free from the moral laws. We still can't kill, we still can't lie, we still can't cheat, we still can't, you name it. Those are moral things that will never go away. But the rituals and all of the form and all of those things, we are free from. Hallelujah. The next thing we have been set free from, and that is the bondage to sin. The grip that sin had on us as people. You see, when Jesus was crucified and he died and he rose again from the dead, he made it possible for believers to be freed from that sting of guilt. Oh, that guilty conscience. And they were set free from the wretchedness of sin and all of its evil, horrible, disgusting consequences. And through faith in Jesus Christ, we have been set free from the power of sin that once gripped our lives. I think about Paul when he was talking in Romans 7, the things that I don't want to do, I end up doing. The things that I want to do, I can't do. And oh, what a wretched man I am. Who's going to save me from this body of death? And the very next line is, thanks be to Jesus. We have been set free from that bondage that gripped our lives. In John 8, Jesus told believers there, he says, I tell you the truth, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now, a slave has no permanent place in the family. But a son belongs to it forever. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. And Paul also said, Romans 8, 1 and 2, he says, now there is no condemnation, no guilt, no dirty conscience for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law, the Spirit of life, has set us free from the law of sin and death. Can I get an amen? Amen. We've been set free. Some of you back there, you hearing me? We have been set free from the law of sin and death. Sin no longer has power over the believer's life. The third thing we've been set free from, that is the traditions of men. In Galatians 4, Paul warned the believers against returning to their former pagan religious practices. He took them to task because they were going back to those dead habits and their old traditions. They were observing all of these rituals and things that were actually in honor of pagan gods. I guess they got tired of worshiping God. They wanted to go back to when things were fun. I don't know. But he was taking them to task for that, and he says, you need to stop this practice now because you have been freed from this. And you are free to worship God. He told believers also in the church there in Colossae, the same thing he says in Colossians 2, you have died with Christ, and he has set you free from the spiritual powers of this world. So why do you keep on following the rules of this world, such as don't handle, don't taste, don't touch? He says such rules as these are mere human teachings about things that deteriorate as we use them. These rules may seem wise because they require strong devotion, pious self-denial, and severe bodily discipline, but they provide no help in conquering a person's sinful and evil desires. Kind of reminds me back in the Middle Ages when people in some of the monasteries would beat themselves. They would take a whip and they would lash themselves so many times because they didn't understand that Christ had already paid that penalty. And so they thought, well, if I do some more to me, maybe God will consider me more worthy. Folks, you can beat yourself to death and not be worthy, as Jesus was worthy. His was the only sacrifice that mattered. And see, we also see in Matthew 15 where Jesus rebuked the religious leaders of his day, because they were placing greater value on their religious traditions than they were on the clear teachings found in the Scripture. Let me give you an example. By the time Jesus came around, they had a collection of writings. These were rabbinical writings that supposedly clarified and helped people understand the original law. Well, that was all good, except they had added 2 and 3 times as many laws to the one law than what they had before. It was so complicated they couldn't do anything without sinning. An example of that is you can't work on the Sabbath. If you work on the Sabbath, you know, that's a sin and you're going to have to offer some sort of sacrifice to take care of that. The problem is people said, well, what does it mean to work on the Sabbath? Oh, well, we have all the answers for you. You can't bend a blade of grass. Did you know that? If you bend a blade of grass, it takes work to bend that blade of grass. And so you couldn't walk on grass on the Sabbath. If you walked more than a mile away from your home on the Sabbath day, that was too much work. Because, you know, if you walk a mile, you get dust on your feet, and it takes work to clean up after all of that. And so it was a sin to walk more than a mile on the Sabbath. These were all of these things were added to, and it became such a burden. Paul says, you want to put these people under a spiritual bondage again, and you couldn't even keep it yourself. We've been set free from keeping the traditions of men. Christ frees us from every rule of mankind that contradicts or adds to God's word. The fourth thing, we have been freed from the works of the sinful nature. Let me explain this, because a lot of people think, well, does that mean we don't do good works as believers? No. Good works come as a result of a changed heart and life. You don't do good works to get a good and changed life. Works are fruit of something that's already changed here. Now, funny thing about living by one's own good works or good deeds is that how do you know if they're good enough? How do you know if you've done enough of them? Have you earned God's favor by doing 50 of these? Well, what if all your bad stuff outweighs that? Who is to judge? What if someone tries to live according to his or her own righteousness? He's going to miss the mark with God as well. Paul says this in Galatians 5 later on in this chapter. He says, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other so that you do not do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under law. And here's his warning. It says in verse 21, I will warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. You don't inherit God's favor. You do not inherit God's heaven. You do not inherit eternal life by your good deeds, period. Your good deeds reflect a good heart. So Christ delivers us from the deeds of the sinful nature, which only endanger our salvation. Now, there are some freedoms that I've shared with you this morning, and there are many more, but for time's sake, I will stop there. But I want us to understand what he's saying here in verse 1 of chapter 5. You see, because we are free, we are then to stand firm in that freedom. And this means several things. First thing it means is that we have a proper perspective on the value of the Old Testament law and commandments. Now, 1 Timothy 1:18 says that the law is good. But the law is only good, as Paul says, if it is used properly. You see, as we were looking at a couple Wednesdays ago at the youth, that this law, our commandments in the Old Testament, have one purpose, and that is to show that we are sinners. Paul says, I would not have known sin unless there had been a law to show me. And so the main purpose of the Old Testament law was to show us that we needed a Savior, that we were incapable of being good. And then Romans says that the law was written to teach us and encourage us. I want you to think about this for a minute. What did the early church use for a Bible? They didn't have the New Testament. They had to use the Old Testament. But you know what? People came to Christ through the Old Testament. People got saved through the Scriptures. And so those Scriptures are there to teach us, to encourage us, and to lead us to Christ. And in 1 Corinthians, it says that the law was written to warn us not to sin. Paul said in 2 Timothy 3, he says, the Old Testament Scriptures are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus, and that they are useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. But the law's got its limitations. Keeping the law, as I have said, saves no one. You don't get saved by following the law. In fact, James says if you try to keep the whole law but you mess up in one point, guess what? You're guilty of all of it. It's not a system designed to justify us before God. It only shows how truly sinful we really are and how desperately we need Christ. And so since Christ has become the mediator, as Hebrews says, the mediator of a new and better covenant, That former covenant between God and man through the law has now been set aside, and it's been set aside for good. I want you to encourage you, I've got it on your notes there too, take the time to read Hebrews 8, because Hebrews 8 explains how we now have the best covenant in the world, and that is through Jesus Christ and our relationship to Him. The religious observances of the law have been replaced, and of course, its place of worship in Jerusalem is no longer the only place God's Spirit resides. In fact, you want to know the truth? God's people are now His temple. God's people is where He dwells. And we worship now, as Jesus said, in spirit and in truth. The next thing that we need to stand firm in is our freedom also of... It means also taking advantage of the benefits that we have in Christ. And if you've sinned and you confess and repent of that sin, folks, we have a beautiful promise that says God's Son, Jesus, His blood is sufficient to cleanse you from your guilty conscience. He is the one that not just covers it over, but He cleanses it for good. And as long as we still dwell on this earth, believers will always have access to His cleansing and forgiveness. In case you haven't noticed, we don't live in a perfect world, and so neither are you and me. We need that cleansing to be available. And our response to Him should not be to run from Him when we sin, but to run to Him to get cleansing right away. We should repent and pray and ask God to restore us when we fall. That's what He's there for. Remember, He says in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us, to purify us, to wash us from all unrighteousness, all sin. And when we do, God frees us from the power of that sin in our lives. There's an old Scottish proverb. It reads like this: open confession is good for the soul. I've heard Martin Luther once said that confession is good for the soul. We ought to be doing it more often. Be willing to do it more often, at least. But if we are open to God's Spirit, He'll heal us from sin and restore us to a right relationship with Him. And so we shouldn't hesitate at all to access the blood of Christ and the Spirit of God if we want to be free. Third thing, we also stand firm in our Christian freedom by dealing cautiously with the traditions of men. I always think of that phrase, well, we've always done it like this. Well, what if it's not right? Well, that's the way we've always done it. Okay, well, we got to be careful about that. We have to be careful not to let human traditions destroy our liberty in Christ. I mean, who do we think we are to add to God's requirements? That was the whole issue there in the book of Acts, that they were wanting to add more and more and pile on more and more. And the Lord was telling those apostles, saying, no, you need to free them so that they can be free to serve me. I mean, traditions have their place, and I understand that. You know, they have a place on an individual level, and yes, in a group level. So long as they're not taught as doctrines of God. In other words, if that tradition has more weight than this, I'd run from it. I would leave it alone. I would forget it, because I don't care how well-intentioned or how long it's been in place, you always go with what God's Word says first. Lastly, standing firm in our freedom means diligently living according to the Spirit's directions. Just because the Lord uses the word freedom in His Word doesn't mean that we are free to go and do whatever we please. I've heard this attitude that says, well, all I got to do is just run and run to the altar whenever I've sinned, or I just get on my knees every time I've sinned. How about we just not sin? And I know that sounds awful hard, but the point being is we are free, but only free to be righteous. Paul says we are slaves to righteousness. We are no longer slaves to sin, but we are slaves to righteousness. That means we have boundaries. That means we have certain things that we have to do in order to be righteous before God. In fact, Paul declared in Romans 6, listen to what he says. Don't you know that when you offer yourselves to someone to obey him as slaves, you are slaves to the one whom you obey? Whether you are slaves to sin, or, and that sin which leads to death, or to obedience which leads to righteousness. Thanks be to God that though you used to be slaves to sin, you have been set free from sin and have become slaves to righteousness. You see, our new master, Jesus Christ, he is a different kind of master. He's not the cruel taskmaster that they had under the law, but now he is a master that gives us freedom. But that freedom has enabled us, though, to obey him. We don't have the freedom to disobey. We might, but we still do not have that. When the Spirit of God leads you, you will produce fruit. You will satisfy him. And that fruit will give testimony of what God's done in your heart and in your life. And they will see that Jesus is Lord and Master of you. So our goal then is to set our minds on the things of God. Set our minds on the things above. And when we do not only please him, but we'll start enjoying life and peace as he intended us to do in Christ. The freedom our Lord offers us, this freedom in Christ, it really is incredible. I mean, to be free from the shackles of guilt because of sin and the burden of condemnation, that's what Jesus promised when he said, "The Son of Man will set you free." Not to do what you want to do, but to do what he wants you to do and to do so joyfully. That's freedom. He didn't give us some half-baked promise of freedom only to load us down again with a new set of rules, a new set of burdensome things you got to do. No. In Christ, we've been set free to truly be who God intended us to be. We're righteous. And we're free to be sons and daughters of righteousness. That's what he's created us for. You know, the freedom we enjoy in Christ is great, but we can't forget that it doesn't give us license to do what we want. We are righteous and free only when we're obedient. What if you're not living in obedience? You know what that says? Not what I say it is, it's what Jesus said. He said in John 8, we read this earlier, that you're just living like a slave. And you know what? A slave has no permanent place in a family. If you are living as a slave to sin, you are not living as a slave to righteousness. And you could be living like a son and daughter. It belongs to the family of God forever. If you take this to heart, understand where true freedom begins, and that is by committing your life to him fully, walking in step with the Spirit, and you will be freer than you have ever known before. It begins by being obedient to his word. Look at the bottom of your notes. And I'll close with this verse. James chapter 1, verse 25 says this, "The man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does." Are you being blessed today? Are you walking in the freedom that is in Christ? If so, hang on to it. Stand firm in it and continue to walk in it. If you're not, folks, there's only one way to get to it. There's only one way to experience that freedom, and that is submitting your life fully to Him, humbling ourselves before Him and accepting what He has done for you. Let's pray. Lord, this morning we thank You for the freedom that You have given us. Oh, that freedom is so wonderful. We've been set free from sin. We've been set free from the burdens of this life as a result of sin. Lord, we have been set free from that fear of future judgment. And Lord, You have given us that freedom to walk in step with You. Father, may we never squander that freedom. May we not take that freedom for granted and go off and do our own thing. May we instead, Lord, learn from Your word what it is You would have us to do, that we may have freedom to be obedient, that we have freedom to please You. Lord, I thank You for what Your Son Jesus has done for us, and that He paid the price to earn our and merit our freedom. I thank You, Lord, for what He has done, that final Lamb of God who sacrificed Himself once for all of us. We praise You this morning, and we love You in Christ's name. Amen.
We want to thank you for taking the time to listen to this week's podcast. Our prayer is that if you are touched by this message, that you will respond with action. If you would like to accept Christ as your Lord, we'd ask you pray the following prayer. Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner and I do not deserve eternal life, but I believe You died and rose from the grave to make me a new creation and to prepare me to dwell in Your presence forever. Jesus, come into my life, take control of my life, forgive my sins, and save me. I am now placing my trust in You alone for my salvation, and I accept Your free gift of eternal life. If you prayed this prayer with us today, then you know that you are truly saved. We'd love to hear from you so that we might connect in a meaningful way, encouraging you to be active in the local church and share the same saving message of Jesus Christ. Please feel free to email our pastor, visit our church, or find a Bible-believing local congregation near you. However you respond, please let us know.